Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szövegértése középszint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on this CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is exactly 30 minutes long. Good luck. Listen. Task 1. In this section you will listen to the short biography of Malcolm X, the famous African-American human rights activist. Your task will be to decide whether the following statements are true, false, or we do not know because the text does not say, and write the appropriate letter in the boxes on the right. Write A if the statement is true. Write B if the statement is false, and write C if the text does not say. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to make your decision about the answers. A means true. B means false. And C means the text does not say. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
Malcolm X, whose original name was Malcolm Little, was born in 1925. His father was a Baptist preacher and a strong supporter of racial equality. He preached that white people and black people should have equal rights and opportunities. For his beliefs, he received a number of death threats from a white supremacist group. It is generally thought that Malcolm's father was murdered by this group. Authorities at the time claimed that he had been run over by a tram, and that caused his death. Malcolm was an exceptionally bright student and wanted to become a lawyer. However, one of his teachers told him that becoming a lawyer is no realistic goal for a nigger, and he should become a carpenter instead. Malcolm became so disappointed that he dropped out of school and traveled to New York, where he became heavily involved in selling drugs and gambling. Later, he moved to Boston and continued his criminal career. He was arrested in 1946 and sent to Charleston State Prison for 8 years. His brother Reginald persuaded him to join a black Islamic organization called the Nation of Islam. Malcolm started to read extensively about Islam and became a strong follower of this religion. He changed his name to Malcolm X, saying that his original surname, Little, had been forced on his ancestors by their slave masters. He wanted to get rid of his slave name. After being released from prison, Malcolm was getting more and more involved in the Nation of Islam. He was an excellent public speaker and became the face of the organization. However, he left the organization because he became disillusioned after realizing that the leader of the organization had illegitimate children from different women, and other members were living luxurious lives at the organization's expense. From the moment he left the Nation of Islam, he started getting numerous death threats. On February 21, 1965, he was assassinated in New York, most probably by rival black Muslims, though it is still not known for sure who his real killers were.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
Malcolm X, whose original name was Malcolm Little, was born in 1925. His father was a Baptist preacher and a strong supporter of racial equality. He preached that white people and black people should have equal rights and opportunities. For his beliefs, he received a number of death threats from a white supremacist group. It is generally thought that Malcolm's father was murdered by this group. Authorities at the time claimed that he had been run over by a tram, and that caused his death. Malcolm was an exceptionally bright student and wanted to become a lawyer. However, one of his teachers told him that becoming a lawyer is no realistic goal for a nigger, and he should become a carpenter instead. Malcolm became so disappointed that he dropped out of school and traveled to New York, where he became heavily involved in selling drugs and gambling. Later, he moved to Boston and continued his criminal career. He was arrested in 1946 and sent to Charleston State Prison for 8 years. His brother Reginald persuaded him to join a black Islamic organization called the Nation of Islam. Malcolm started to read extensively about Islam and became a strong follower of this religion. He changed his name to Malcolm X, saying that his original surname, Little, had been forced on his ancestors by their slave masters. He wanted to get rid of his slave name. After being released from prison, Malcolm was getting more and more involved in the Nation of Islam. He was an excellent public speaker and became the face of the organization. However, he left the organization because he became disillusioned after realizing that the leader of the organization had illegitimate children from different women, and other members were living luxurious lives at the organization's expense. From the moment he left the Nation of Islam, he started getting numerous death threats. On February 21, 1965, he was assassinated in New York, most probably by rival black Muslims, though it is still not known for sure who his real killers were.
That is the end of Task 1. Task 2. In this section, you are going to listen to the beneficial effects of nitrous oxide, also called laughing gas, on medicine. Your task will be to circle the letter or letters of the correct answer or answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct. However, there is always at least one correct answer. This means you will have to circle one or two letters. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to make your decision about the answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
In the past, having an operation must have been a terrible experience. Why? Because surgery was not carried out under anesthesia. In other words, surgeons and dentists didn't know how to reduce the pain their patients felt. They thought that pain was an essential component of the process and was good for the patient. The discovery of the gas nitrous oxide, also called laughing gas, changed everything. Unfortunately, very slowly. It was discovered around 1772 by the English scientist and clergyman Joseph Priestley. When he inhaled the gas, he immediately started to experience its strange effects. He couldn't control his thoughts and movements and started laughing out loud. However, a couple of decades had passed before its pain-killing effect was observed. At the beginning of the 19th century, another British scientist, Humphrey Davy, experimented on nitrous oxide. Even though chemists thought that laughing gas was incredibly poisonous, Davy inhaled it. Why? At that time, chemists tested everything on themselves. Besides the intoxicating effect of the gas, Davy noticed something else. He published his discovery that nitrous oxide relieved pain and even stated its potential in surgery. And yet, tragically, he did nothing more about it. For almost another 50 years, surgeons and dentists operated on fully conscious patients, and nitrous oxide was mainly used as a recreational drug for laughing gas parties. For a small fee, people could laugh and act silly while they breathed the intoxicating gas. It was at one of these laughing gas parties in America that a young dentist called Horace Wells saw something that attracted his interest. He watched a participant at the party who, under the influence of the gas, injured his leg as he stumbled into a bench. Dr. Wells noticed that the man was completely unaware of his injury because he was feeling no pain. He realized how effective the gas was at reducing pain. He wanted to test the possibilities, so he asked a friend of his, who was also a dentist, to participate in an experiment the next day. His friend gave laughing gas to Dr. Wells and then pulled out one of Wells's teeth. Dr. Wells experienced no pain during the procedure, and the birth of nitrous oxide as a dental and medical painkiller arrived. The following year, Dr. Wells demonstrated his discovery at the Harvard Medical School in Boston. A patient was given laughing gas and a tooth was pulled out. Unfortunately, the gas had not taken full effect and the patient screamed. The crowd started to shout, "Boo!" and Dr. Wells left the stage in disgrace. Over the centuries, Wells's discovery has been improved and is now used during surgery all over the world, and Dr. Wells is regarded as one of the discoverers of anesthesia.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
In the past, having an operation must have been a terrible experience. Why? Because surgery was not carried out under anesthesia. In other words, surgeons and dentists didn't know how to reduce the pain their patients felt. They thought that pain was an essential component of the process and was good for the patient. The discovery of the gas nitrous oxide, also called laughing gas, changed everything. Unfortunately, very slowly. It was discovered around 1772 by the English scientist and clergyman Joseph Priestley. When he inhaled the gas, he immediately started to experience its strange effects. He couldn't control his thoughts and movements and started laughing out loud. However, a couple of decades had passed before its pain-killing effect was observed. At the beginning of the 19th century, another British scientist, Humphrey Davy, experimented on nitrous oxide. Even though chemists thought that laughing gas was incredibly poisonous, Davy inhaled it. Why? At that time, chemists tested everything on themselves. Besides the intoxicating effect of the gas, Davy noticed something else. He published his discovery that nitrous oxide relieved pain and even stated its potential in surgery. And yet, tragically, he did nothing more about it. For almost another 50 years, surgeons and dentists operated on fully conscious patients, and nitrous oxide was mainly used as a recreational drug for laughing gas parties. For a small fee, people could laugh and act silly while they breathed the intoxicating gas. It was at one of these laughing gas parties in America that a young dentist called Horace Wells saw something that attracted his interest. He watched a participant at the party who, under the influence of the gas, injured his leg as he stumbled into a bench. Dr. Wells noticed that the man was completely unaware of his injury because he was feeling no pain. He realized how effective the gas was at reducing pain. He wanted to test the possibilities, so he asked a friend of his, who was also a dentist, to participate in an experiment the next day. His friend gave laughing gas to Dr. Wells and then pulled out one of Wells's teeth. Dr. Wells experienced no pain during the procedure, and the birth of nitrous oxide as a dental and medical painkiller arrived. The following year, Dr. Wells demonstrated his discovery at the Harvard Medical School in Boston. A patient was given laughing gas and a tooth was pulled out. Unfortunately, the gas had not taken full effect and the patient screamed. The crowd started to shout, "Boo!" and Dr. Wells left the stage in disgrace. Over the centuries, Wells's discovery has been improved and is now used during surgery all over the world, and Dr. Wells is regarded as one of the discoverers of anesthesia.
That is the end of task two. Task three. In this section, you are going to hear a weird story about a cat called Browser. Your task will be to write one word in each of the gaps below using the exact words you hear. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Now look at the task in your booklet. Now listen to the recording.
You are listening to Radio Bridge 102.1. And here is an extraordinary story from a small town in Texas, USA, called White Settlement. If you've been to the White Settlement Public Library recently, chances are pretty good that you've seen Browser, the cat. Browser was adopted from an animal shelter 6 years ago and has become the library's unofficial mascot, a kind of good luck piece. By night, he conscientiously catches mice that can be found in great numbers around the area. By day, he wanders around the stacks of books and he loves lying on people's keyboards when they are trying to type. Both library users and employees love this cute little kitty. That is why it came as a shock that last week the city council voted that Browser had to go and gave him 30 days to find a new place to live. Council member Elsie Clements said, "City Hall and city businesses are no place for animals." And indeed, one family has a problem with the cat because their daughter suffered from an allergy attack. But the library came up with a solution that allowed the family to call ahead so employees could remove the cat while they visited. The president of Friends of the White Settlement Public Library, Lillian Blackburn, said, "Browser is a wonderful cat, and he is a big attraction for kids. I don't think there will be any problem finding a home for Browser, but he will not have a home like this." The story appeared in the local newspaper a few days ago. Since then, an online petition for keeping Browser in the library has been signed by thousands of people. Yesterday, even the mayor of the city spoke in favor of Browser. Do you think the city council should let Browser stay in his home? Call us or post your comment on our website.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
You are listening to Radio Bridge 102.1. And here is an extraordinary story from a small town in Texas, USA, called White Settlement. If you've been to the White Settlement Public Library recently, chances are pretty good that you've seen Browser, the cat. Browser was adopted from an animal shelter 6 years ago and has become the library's unofficial mascot, a kind of good luck piece. By night, he conscientiously catches mice that can be found in great numbers around the area. By day, he wanders around the stacks of books, and he loves lying on people's keyboards when they are trying to type. Both library users and employees love this cute little kitty. That is why it came as a shock that last week the city council voted that Browser had to go and gave him 30 days to find a new place to live. Council member Elsie Clements said, "City Hall and city businesses are no place for animals." And indeed, one family has a problem with the cat because their daughter suffered from an allergy attack. But the library came up with a solution that allowed the family to call ahead so employees could remove the cat while they visited. The president of Friends of the White Settlement Public Library, Lillian Blackburn, said, "Browser is a wonderful cat, and he is a big attraction for kids. I don't think there will be any problem finding a home for Browser, but he will not have a home like this." The story appeared in the local newspaper a few days ago. Since then, an online petition for keeping Browser in the library has been signed by thousands of people. Yesterday, even the mayor of the city spoke in favor of Browser. Do you think the city council should let Browser stay in his home? Call us or post your comment on our website.
That is the end of task 3, and also the end of the listening exam.